This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Diddy, that's what we're going to take another look at as more lawsuits are coming up. But we're going to talk more about complicity today. We're going to talk about what makes someone be buddies with a guy that's doing these sort of things, allegedly. If you're witnessing the sort of parties that he held, if you're just kind of tuned in to what was going on. And maybe participated, maybe not, but you knew. And yeah, got, you know, some morals, something that says, this is a little weird. The big question on a lot of this is the silence from people who once helped boost his career. Everybody was his buddy for a while. Were they just looking out for themselves back then? Or did they secretly agree with what he did, and now they're staying silent? Today we're chatting with psychotherapist Siobhan Scott to break down the psychology of those who enabled abuse in power circles and to understand the mix of fear, loyalty, and self-preservation that keeps them mum. Siobhan, based on your experience, how do you explain the widespread silence among those who helped launch Diddy's career? And do you think they're staying quiet more to protect their own reputations rather than really believe that maybe he's innocent in this case?
Yeah, it strains credibility to try to sell the story that none of these people that hung out with him, even in a limited professional way, were absolutely clueless about this guy's personality and what was going on. I mean, I just can't buy it. And did everybody know the full extent? Probably not. But the flavor of who he was obvious. I mean, it had to be obvious if you attended some of these parties, even not the freak-offs, but the other parties. I mean, people to some degree always talk among themselves and their peers. So it doesn't speak well about, again, humanity and celebrity culture. I'm always railing about, let's stop making terrible people famous, you know, mm-hmm. in this country. But it seems like that happens again and again when people see someone with wealth and power and success, they latch on. A certain percentage of people who lack integrity latch on just to advance their own interests. And apparently a lot of people made that work for a lot of time. And then the other thing, in addition to that celebrity worship and the latching on, I was reading again quotes from the criminal indictment. Mm-hmm. I mean, his reputation for harming other people, threats of violence, you know, hitting, dragging, choking people, dragging by their hair. He hung somebody over a balcony on an apartment building. Mm-hmm. You know, these are all the allegations. Controlled their finances and their housing. I mean, this is a guy who was just a despicable human being. And I can't believe that all these other celebrities who were attached to him had no clue about this. In addition to the sexual stuff he was doing, which, as we've said, he was a sex addict and an abuser and paraphilia and all this other stuff. I mean, this guy's about as dirty as you can get for a human being.
What do you think drives people to ignore these sort of things when it's around you or enable the abusive behavior in a powerful figure? What is that in someone who's not that person, but they're standing over on the sideline that they may never participate in that sort of thing right. in their own life? They may never seek that out. They may never go for it, but they're going to turn a blind eye to someone like that.
I go back to the word integrity, you know, and sometimes I think it's just as basic as morality. And there's a certain percentage, it probably goes on a continuum. Actually, it does. It's called the trait of conscientiousness with people who are very, very moral and very, you know, rigid about what's right and what's wrong. And I tend to lean in that direction with my personality. And then you go down the continuum all the way to the psychopath who has no morality at all. And so we find people on various places on that continuum. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of celebrities compromise in those areas and just lack basic integrity. You know, I've told the story in the past. I'll just share it again briefly. I was once in a clinical group. I shared a practice, shared office space, basically, with another clinician who I found out was going around town writing hot checks. Immediately, I said, I'm done. I'm moving out. I don't want to be associated with you, just because bouncing checks in a small community, absolutely not okay. And I don't want to be associated with that. So I think there probably were people who got the drift about him early on and said, I don't want anything to do with him. But we've certainly seen lots of celebrities who cozied up to him despite all this.
Well, and it's one thing, I think, if you're a celebrity and you have some clout out there and your voice would matter if you did say something yes. against this person. It's another if you're like the chef or just someone who works for him, who nobody knows who you are, if True. You start making those sort of claims. I mean, if, and again, it kind of comes down to with how deep does somebody want to dive into this and get themselves involved in a really sticky situation that they otherwise shouldn't have to be in, but they find themselves in. I mean, if you were in that situation and that person had said to you, well, it'd be a real shame if something happened to your insert something or someone who you value most, something would happen to them if you were to report me for this or something of that nature. It really, I mean, it kind of puts a pause in you going, mm-hmm. is it worth it to me? Is it worth mm-hmm. it to do that, to do what's right and expose this person? Versus risking the well-being of someone that I care of more than anything, far more yeah. than this person, far more than this job, am I better just to shut up?
Yeah, exactly. And I can certainly understand why a person with much less power as any of the you know, servants that he basically had were people without any power, and they would not be believed, and they were threatened and very intimidated. I can understand why they would basically let things lie. But for other celebrities and people with power, some of the big names, it's unconscionable that nobody called it for what it was.
Knowing as big as the music industry is and the amount of people that this guy interacted with, and I'm not even talking artists, I'm talking more so the industry itself. I'm talking some of the big studio bosses, some of the people whose names are in lights and they're celebrated every year. They have a big party and, oh, look at all these artists I've brought up and how wonderful this is. And they're kind of close to death. So kind of that gets into the play. I'm not going to name any names here. But there's several of them that are looked at as, oh, these are really, you know, they're big players in the business and they've certainly made careers for a lot of people. But how the hell did you not know any of this shit was going on? Right. And right. how, were you involved in it? Were you just looking the other way because these people were pulling in, you know, boatloads of money for you over the years? I feel like there's a lot in that realm that was so enabled. Had these lives or this lifestyle not been enabled by a record company and not been saying like, hey, you can't be doing that shit. That's a huge liability to us. Right. Rather it was, right. hey, put that in the next video.
Right.
Let's literally like broadcast exactly all the horrible shit you're doing. And people will go, ah, it's just a music video. I mean, I feel like that weird way of thinking almost was the best cover of it all. Never having to deny mm-hmm. anything. Just, oh yeah, they live a crazy life. Look at them. Mm-hmm. Look at those, mm-hmm. those people with that money. And like, oh, and people like looked up to it going, he has all the power. He can get any women he wants. Nobody should just get any woman they want because they have power or man or whatever. It's like, that's not how that works. That's called a non-consensual relationship. If you just point and go, exactly. you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's horrible that we live in a culture, and I'm not saying it's just us, it's probably humanity overall, that is so driven by greed that we basically embrace exploiting people, abusing people. And it also makes me think of the Harvey Weinstein case, who got away with what he did. Everybody knew about it in Hollywood, or I can't say everybody, but a lot of people, and certainly the people in the big studios, a lot of actors were very aware of his behavior, and people still cozied up to him and let him get away with it for decades. And at least, you know, we know where he is right now, where he needs to be.
Is now an open window where if you were in that orbit, I'm not saying that you participated in anything, obviously not you, but the people out there, yeah. If one did not participate in anything, but had some information that could be powerful, that could, you know, help continue to take him down, is now the time to shut up and not say anything? Because you just, your name will certainly be out there in that world, but if you're really clear and concise about it, of look, I didn't do any of these things, and you know you did it. There's not going to be any evidence that's going to get you, You know you didn't, but you could really lend a voice to protect the people who don't have much of a voice. Is now the time to speak out and go, oh my God, here's what I got for you. How can I help? Is it in everyone's best interest just to be quiet because, well, it's not my problem?
Mm-hmm. They may think it's in their best interest to distance themselves and pretend that they didn't know anything about it, but it would sure speak well of them. I would have more admiration for anybody who would come forward and say, you know what, I should have done more. I should have spoken up, but let me speak up now. I think that would be the right thing to do.
My other question is, This obviously has been going on for a long time, allegedly, with him. I mean, the stories of so many of his employees that we've heard now in some of these docs, of how he treated them, how he abused them. And it just like it's kind of a cycle, it sounds like, that they kept going through, you know, a lot of people over time because of that sort of behavior. What keeps someone there, though, when you do have an out? Because I would say some of the folks that have been in some of the docs, I'm not saying the ones that have been, you know, trafficked in and abused, but more like, I'm working in this environment and it sucks and I really don't like it. What keeps someone there where they really could have an out of going, you know what, I got to move across the country, my grandma's sick? You can come up with 1,000 things that anyone could go, okay, cool. And it's not going to look like I have to leave because I'm going to write a tell-all. Just, I'm out. We already have an NDA. You walk out on that sort of a pretense. Why weren't there more of that? And do they deserve pity, or do they deserve some consideration for their choices of not getting out of that when they really could have? I'm not talking about victims who've been raped and that sort of control. Yeah. I'm just talking like staff who are like, this is really weird, but they're looking at the text messages, and we saw one the other day where it's like, Eddie needs more Astroglide, LOL. And you're like, okay, let me go get more of that. Why would you not run then if you have such high morals and standards that you're now going to speak out and go on the dock and do all these things about? It just seems to me that I feel like he attracted other people of also kind of the same frequency in some cases that were willing to go along with what he wanted. And now, is there room for them to have outrage when they really participated in some of it all along?
Yeah, it does cause concern. It makes you wonder what personality differences are there that allow some people to just kind of go along passively with things. And that may be another trait that we're looking at. Some people have very strong personalities. We call it ego strength. You know, they have boundaries, they speak up, they speak their mind, they take a stand. And then there are people who are just very wishy-washy, I guess we could say. And they roll with things and they go along with things, even things they disagree with. And at this point, some of them are coming forward and speaking out. And in some of the documentaries, they look ashamed, you know, when they're talking about it. And they may be somewhat baffled about, gee, why did I let this go on for so long? But it may be one of those things, the frog in the boiling water, where, you know, they became more aware over time and had normalized it to themselves and were around other people who normalized it. And so their perspective was just not really very well grounded in reality.
It's scary how normalization can be so effective. I mean, let's talk about that for a second. I mean, how do you normalize something like this around people that, you know, I guess are new to your circle, to your environment? Because a lot of people were coming and going. I get like the initial crew at the very beginning, yeah. How, oh, you know, we kind of slowly devolved into this way. And, you know, you didn't really see it coming until it's too late. But you're a new staffer coming on in 2017, just for example. And then this is really not normal behavior, but they're telling you it's normal. So you just kind of go along. I mean, how do you do that when the pot's already boiling and you just got dumped into it?
Yeah, I think we can say that a person with a healthy ego, healthy sense of self would never go along with that. So there was something a bit off with people that were this passive. And were they just seduced by the money and the celebrity, you know, status that they felt, oh, I'm basking in the glow of this famous person. So therefore, that's enough of a motivator that it overrides things that I should be concerned about or I should be disgusted by. That's interesting. But yeah, I don't think most of us, I'll be hopeful there. I don't think most of us, certainly you nor I, would have logged on to that and signed up for it and said, yeah, this is great. I love it here.
Hang on one second. Hey, yo, delicious. I need my dinner right now. Bring it in a dog bowl. And you're going to eat it first. I mean, I'm kidding. But like, that's kind of like the weird insanity that these people have. And they're going into this world. I mean, if I was yelling at I don't have a staff, but if I had someone and you're treating them that way and you need all this Astroglide and all the lube and all of the illicit drugs and everything. I don't know. I mean, maybe it is just kind of that normalization of, well, he really is the guy I saw in the videos and he hasn't been arrested yet. So maybe because of that, what he's doing isn't necessarily illegal. I guess you could kind of make that argument or kind of have that cognitive dissonance if you're telling yourself that, if you're not, you know, as like one of his assistants wasn't necessarily in the room when the stuff is going on, but they're just kind of seeing the aftermath and the pre-game, if you will, as crass as that sounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a healthy person would run the other way the first day on the job. And, you know, I don't know how often that happened, but apparently there were enough people who were seduced by the whole celebrity culture and were willing to override their own sense of, you know, repugnance.
Yeah, I mean, look at him. He had at the parties, I'm not even talking the freak offs or the Wild King nights, just like the white parties, the stuff where like Martha Stewart was there and there was tons of people there. They literally had like naked women and they're eating sushi off their bodies. And I guess people were telling themselves, oh, it's art. And maybe you've come a long way. You deserve this, that you can degrade human beings that way.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any level of power or money that I'd ever be at where I'd be like, yeah, let me take that sashimi off her nipple. That sounds like a great idea.
I'm cringing. Cringing right now. I'm going to have to write another book on celebrity culture and what is wrong with it, because I'm finding myself, you know, we just had the Grammys and I could rant on that, but it's like the people that we make famous and the people that get rich.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously I don't have a formula for getting rich, right? And that may just be, I don't go along with all this shit that celebrities go along with.
Yeah. So. I mean, that might be part of it. You have morals and you go, I'm not going down that road. Mm-hmm. It's baffling. It's such a culture of self-aggrandizement and look at how good we are. That's why they have all the award ceremonies. So everybody every year can tell each other how good they are at everything.
Yeah.
And I'm not against recognizing, you know, good work or anything like that. But there's just so much of it where I guess I kind of see where it becomes just kind of the norm of, we deserve this. This is okay at the expense of another human being.
Yeah.
And that to me is the baffling part of it. I guess, you know, if you're sitting there and willing, you know, to eat that spicy tuna roll off of somebody's, you know, parts, I'm going to guess it's not that far of a journey for you to stick around later and, you know, ask what's in the baby oil.
Right, right. Yeah, we really have created a system here where we reward the most awful behavior. And that to me is a horrible thing.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.